Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Christmas News, where we talk about Christmas and ignore the news. I'm Molly Malshine.
And I'm Casey Bunker.
And this week, we're talking to Ava Pauchik about Hanukkah and the OC.
And we're talking to Brian Yang and Ariel Lieti of the What's Eating You podcast about all of our Christmas grievances and favorite food.
And you should definitely go check out their podcast next week when we're on it, because you need to learn what a cannibal sandwich is and then never go visit the Midwest. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's get into it.
Great. So, Mal, what's your Christmas character this week?
My Christmas character this week is Mary from It's a Wonderful Life.
I thought you were going to say Mary like Jesus's mother.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I feel like that was a very clunky naming device where they wanted her to be a stand-in for the Virgin Mary. And the reason why I feel like Mary this week is because I am done with all my shopping. I did a deep clean of my apartment. I got rid of a bunch of clothes. I did all this stuff. I made a gingerbread house. It was disgusting, but I tried. I've just been really on top of my game. So I feel like I'm the perfect Virgin Mary housewife person. Am I a three-dimensional character? No, but I'm nailing it at home.
Have you ever felt like that before in your life?
Maybe in high school when I like made the Toll House cookie dough recipe once and I was like, oh, I'm Martha Stewart.
Yeah, you were very much doing like the cheerleader thing in high school, and then you would like knit for a month and then bake for a month. So yeah, that's true. You've probably had this feeling before.
Oh yeah, I've been knitting too. I'm almost done with this scarf, and I learned how to do a purl stitch, which has evaded me for literally 17 years. That's why I stopped knitting back in the day, because I couldn't figure out how to do this. So I am knitting a scarf. The bottom third of it looks like it Chernobyl, but the top rest of it is looking really good.
Wow. Okay. So that the bottom part could just be tucked into your coat or something.
Yeah. I'll create a diversion whenever I'm wearing it.
Perfect.
Who's your Christmas character this week?
I couldn't really decide this week. And then I just thought, you know what? I'm going for it. It's going to be my birthday this week. And so I'm just going to, in my mind, celebrate myself and be really excited this week, even though I can't do any of the normal things that I would normally do for my birthday. And I'm just going to say my character this week is Elf, because I'm aiming for that level of enthusiasm and positivity.
Buddy the Elf?
Yeah, it's more of an aspirational character this week. I don't know if I'll actually embody that, but I want his energy.
Okay. Well, I think you're nailing it already from what I've seen.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
So sweet.
I hear you have some really festive news out of Delco, which is our ancestral home, Delaware County, Pennsylvania.
So the news out of Delco this week is that a Delco dad created an app for your phone that's going to help you find the best Christmas lights in your neighborhood, or any neighborhood for that matter. It's called Christmas Prism. And you can log good Christmas lights and you can find good Christmas lights. And this is just such a win for all of us in this socially distanced Christmas, because you can just get into your car. You don't have to make contact with anyone, but you can appreciate everyone's Christmas lights. And I feel like people have gone a little bit bigger with the lights this year, because we're just so bored and desperate for anything that's going to spark some kind of joy. So yeah, he created this app and it's out now. You can download it on your phone.
What's it called? Christmas Prism?
Yep.
And is it only in Delco or is it all over the world?
I think it's all over the world. I just downloaded it earlier and then I forgot to check it, but I was able to download it in Nashville. So I think it's just wherever other people are also using it, they'll have logged some good houses. So I would think most of the country right now probably doesn't have anything logged, but you know, you could make a day out of it and make it a little bit of a scavenger hunt and log those houses yourself.
That's really great. I mean, it's so hard to find houses with good Christmas lights unless you already know. It's like an if you know, you know situation. And the cool thing about it is it's not like you, obviously it's usually rich people who have the good Christmas lights. And similarly, rich people often hand out the good Halloween candy. But when the rich people find out that everyone's coming to their neighborhood for the Halloween candy, sometimes they get a little stingy because they don't get rich by being generous. They get rich by hoarding wealth. So they start to, you know, like try to get people not to come as much and blah, 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 blah. But with the lights, that is like a renewable resource. So they're not going to get mad that everybody's coming to look at their lights. They're just going to be proud.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's a win-win.
Our first guest today is Ava Pauchik. Ava and I met when I was working at a magazine. She has her own podcast now. It's called Meet My Mutual, and it's all about her favorite mutual follows on social media. Ava is amazing at social media. I would call her an influencer. I think she is too classy and humble to use that word for herself, but certainly the way that I would describe her.
And she rocks a mean cat eye eyeliner.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Which is the mark of a good influencer.
Yeah. Really. Definitely look at the clip of this that we post on our Instagram because you are not going to want to miss that cat eyeliner.
Absolutely so not.
What we're talking to Ava about is Hanukkah and Chrismukkah because Ava grew up celebrating both Hanukkah and Christmas and it's Hanukkah this week. So we wanted to learn a little bit more about the Festival of Lights because everything we know is from Rugrats and an Adam Sandler song.
So happy Hanukkah to all of our followers who celebrate, and this is our conversation with Ava.
So we're here with Ava Pauchik. She is a podcaster. She has the Meet My Mutual podcast. Ava, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. We're excited to have you representing the entire Jewish community. No pressure at all.
My mom is so proud.
That's good. That's great. So you grew up celebrating both Hanukkah and Christmas, right? So what was that like?
Yeah, so I grew up celebrating both to some extent. You know, my mom was raised culturally Jewish. She wasn't really raised religiously Jewish. And my dad was raised Greek Orthodox, but he doesn't go to church. He doesn't follow all of that. So we really were focused more on like the history and like the family aspect of it. But like we have a Christmas tree. Sometimes we light a menorah. Sometimes we don't. But yeah, that's basically how I grew up. But I grew up in Westchester, which if you watch Big Mouth, you know, is very Jewish. But my town specifically was more like Catholic and Christian. So like we were always kind of like on the outside in that way. So I just like wanted to get on the Christmas fun as much as possible.
And so for people who don't know, what is the celebration of Hanukkah about?
Yeah. So
again, no pressure, just sum up.
I'll give you a brief history.
Perfect.
So in about 165 BCE, the Syrian army led by King Antiochus, I think that's how you say his name. He took over a bunch of lands, but Israel specifically, and he banned the practice of Judaism, and which was not nice. And so obviously there were people who were not cool with this, and specifically a group called the Maccabees, led by Judah Maccabee, rebelled against the Syrian army and won. But when they got back to their temple in Jerusalem, which was like the holiest place for Jews and the center of Jewish life, it was now dedicated to worshiping Greek gods. And it was like in ruins, needed some TLC, but they only had enough oil in their menorah for one day. And miraculously, the oil lasted for 8 days, which was just enough time for them to get more oil. And that is why we celebrate it for 8 days. So really the celebration of Hanukkah, which means Festival of Lights, is to celebrate, you know, finding the lightness in the darkness and also preserving religious freedom. And that is why we celebrate it.
That's amazing. And I know that story from Rugrats, which
yes.
When I was growing up, the Maccababies, and Tommy Pickles was like the lead Maccababy. When I was growing up, Rugrats always had the best like Jewish holiday specials. And I was always so jealous. I was especially jealous of people who got Hanukkah and Christmas together. So
yeah.
When you were growing up, did you get 8 days of presents followed by one day of a million presents?
I wish. I too also had most of my Jewish upbringing. My mom's going to kill me for saying this, but most of my Jewish upbringing was through the Rugrats. And we literally had a Hanukkah book that was printed from the Rugrats. And my mom was like, this is Hanukkah. I was like, okay. But no, we didn't do 8 days of presents. It was more so we saw our family friends who were also Jewish. And we did the first night of Hanukkah together and we would celebrate Christmas, but no, definitely not 8 days of presents. That's a pipe dream, at least for me.
Do other people do that?
I think so. I mean, I have some friends who are very more religiously Jewish and have a Christian parent who doesn't really care which one they do. So they'll do the 8 days of presents and then they'll do smaller presents for Christmas or vice versa. But yeah, sometimes my parents will be like, here's your early Christmas present, and they'll call it a Hanukkah gift. But yeah. I wish.
So what is your favorite way of celebrating Hanukkah?
So my favorite way of celebrating Hanukkah would probably just be the food. The food is so good. The best way to celebrate a holiday that's about oil is oil-based food. So, latkes and jelly donuts. And we we'll have brisket and stuff like that. So I think also just coming together with your family, it's about being thankful and finding hope, which we obviously need this year. So I think just remembering the good in the bad.
Yeah, that's so great. The oil connection. I never thought of that. Because Jewish food is so freaking good. It's the best. I feel bad for people in the UK because I feel like they don't really get as much Jewish food over here. And, they don't really have real bagels and stuff. And I don't think
that's the real horror. No bagels. But you can make latkes super easy. It's just a few ingredients. So I definitely recommend trying it. And it's not too hard. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I will try that. Is there any special meaning to take from Hanukkah in 2020? Anything that people are really thinking harder about during this holiday?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think it's definitely more powerful in 2020. Obviously this year has been so dark for many people. And just finding the lightness and the darkness is, again, the theme of Hanukkah. And I think if we all can find lightness, whether it's putting your tree up early or doing something that makes you happy with your family, I think is really true for 2020.
Yes, yeah. That's beautiful. Thank you. We hear that you're a big Chrismica fan too. So do you actually celebrate, if people don't know, Chrismica is the made up Christmas Hanukkah hybrid from the OC. So yes. do you actually celebrate Chrismica?
So I don't go as full out as Seth Cohen because he gets a little crazy, just in general, but specifically about Chrismica. I think for my family more, it's okay, we'll open presents in the morning and then we'll have Jewish food for dinner as opposed to the traditional Christmas dinner, which I couldn't even tell you what that is.
I think it's Chinese food. That's what I've heard.
Well, that's for Jews. But my dad's not Jewish. So he's I still love Christmas. So we'll do the tree in the morning and then open presents and then we'll eat Jewish food for the rest of the day. Or we'll watch Jewish TV shows during Christmas time. But no. And we'll have sometimes we'll put a menorah out near our tree, but not the super hybrid holiday that Seth Cohen is such a fan of.
Yeah. That sounds pretty hybrid to me though. That's cool that you.
Yeah. That's a perfect balance. The gifts of Christmas and the food of Hanukkah.
Yeah. It's a good blend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to talk about the OC a little bit because I'm
definitely down.
You're a lot younger than me. And I was surprised to hear that you are a fan of the OC. How old were you when the OC started?
So the OC started in 2003, I think. So I was only 8, but not to just really age myself, but the tail end of it I caught in middle school, when I probably shouldn't have been watching still, but I was ooh, CW, I'll watch this. But then I binged it. When I was going through my Dawson's Creek phase, I also binged the OC and One Tree Hill. So yeah, exactly. So that was probably later high school, early college I did that. And I've watched it 5 times since because it's so good.
When they first introduced Chrismica in season 1, it was kind of as part of this love triangle between Seth, Summer, and Anna. So were you team Summer or team Anna?
Okay, look, Anna's comic book was very cute and sweet and very well done. But at the same time, like, I just felt like her gift was something that you give, like, your longtime boyfriend that, like, you know, is very committed to you and, like, you're putting all this effort into it. And so for that reason, I always was just like, Anna, like, what are you doing? And I always was just Team Summer in general because she's Summer.
I know. That's the thing. Like, Anna was really cool on paper, but I just – and Summer treated Seth like crap, but you just still loved her for whatever reason.
Yeah, and I also want to say that both of these women put way too much effort into a guy that was kind of the worst to begin with. So, like, I'm more Team Summer, like, being – like, when Summer was alone in college, I was like, that was the Summer I was on. Like, I don't know.
Seth. Yeah. Looking back on Seth and what – just – I mean, whatever – he was fine, but he wasn't like up to their standards. It just, as an adult, I can't understand what they were thinking.
Well, so it's actually really funny because so the creator Josh Schwartz is Jewish and he also created Gossip Girl, which is, if I'm assuming you've watched, has another like outsider type, like outside looking in. And I was watching Gossip Girl over Thanksgiving and my mom was just like, oh my God, like this guy has such a Jewish complex, like feeling like an outsider. And I was like, I know, you should watch The OC.
Wow. So, same show.
Yeah.
Repeated. Like I would always think that about Gossip Girl because I was really big into Gossip Girl. Molly was really big into The OC. So I kind of got a little bit of The OC and then Gossip Girl. Like Seth and Dan are like almost the same character.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Then
I was actually surprised that they didn't make the Humphreys Jewish just because like they so are like, I mean, not they don't do Jewish things, but like they are the Coens just in New York City. You know, I was.
Yeah. It's the so same funny. Family. Yeah. And then Misha Barton. Sorry. What's her character again?
Marissa.
Yeah. And Serena are like the same person and Blair and Summer are like the same exact person.
Wow.
And
I never noticed that.
Adam Brody, that's who played Seth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who's actually now married. Yeah.
Yes. To Blair, to Leighton Meester, who played Blair. I'm like, this is bizarre.
Yeah.
It's great, though. They were both great shows, so I'm not complaining.
I just want to know. I want to know what Josh Schwartz's trauma is that he keeps making these shows. Like, he also made Looking for Alaska, which he didn't write the book, but like he produced the show for it, which is also another like outsider looking in and like fawning over a blonde girl at school. So
okay, so is that one, I guess I'm assuming that one's not as like, because the OC and Gossip Girl are both like upper class, like
yeah, this
an outsider.
Looking for Alaska is like set at a boarding school, so like you have to be rich to go there. But it's like not a super nice boarding school. I don't know how to describe it. It's like in the woods, but it does have a guy who's there and he's like the outsider with no friends, but he like sees a girl and he puts her on a pedestal the way Dan does with Serena and Marissa with Ryan or Seth and Summer really. But yeah.
And now I want to watch it.
You should.
It's I've a good already binge. Watched it twice.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's fun. Did Gossip Girl have good Christmas episodes? I don't remember. Yeah.
They have really good Thanksgiving episodes. They're like known for their Thanksgiving episodes because their families are so crazy that like getting their families together is always a shit show. So but yeah, I think they have a couple Christmas episodes. And I'm surprised they didn't put more Jewish characters actually into Gossip Girl, seeing as it's set in New York. Like the first Jewish character is Blair's stepdad.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
I feel like Seth Cohen was the first like Jewish character who was like talked about being Jewish and wasn't just implicitly Jewish or anything on like a teen show.
Yeah, him and Lizzie McGuire, like Gordo on Lizzie McGuire. I don't know, you might have been too old for it because it was like my age.
You watched it.
Yeah, he was Jewish and he talked very much about being Jewish. He had a bar mitzvah on the show. His Jewish grandmother came on, like he threw some Yiddish around, but like yeah, him and Seth Cohen are the only two I can really think of growing up.
And Tommy Pickles.
And yeah, Tommy
Pickles. Tommy, sure. Tommy paved the way.
Yeah. And there was also a Disney Channel original movie that I watched yesterday to like prepare for this. And I was like, oh, this is really bad. Called like Full Court Miracle. That's like about the story of Hanukkah. I don't know if you remember it, Casey, but like
No. It
just exactly. It's the only Hanukkah movie I think Disney Channel ever did. And that was like 20 years ago. So.
Okay. And then there was Eight Crazy Nights by Adam Sandler too. Did you like that one?
I did. That obviously because it's Adam Sandler and it was hilarious. I have to rewatch it, but I definitely remember.
Yeah, wasn't that like a cartoon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like him as a cartoon.
Wow.
It was
cool. Yeah. I remember that. And I love the Hanukkah song, obviously. It's so good.
Yeah, but that was also a thing that just like, there was not a lot of Jewish representation in media, like mainstream growing up. So I think that's why Chrismukkah is such a thing. You know, the Jewish kids who are half Jewish, like they still want to participate in Christmas because it just looks so much more fun. Because it kind of is, but like the decorations are more fun. There's more movies, there's more songs. It's like decorated. Yeah. He can't escape it, you know? So might as well just embrace it.
Yeah. And it's not like that religious if you don't want it to be.
Yeah.
Right. And Hanukkah isn't a holy holiday. I think a lot of people who aren't Jewish think Hanukkah is like our Christmas or our Easter, but like, it's really, like I told the story, like it's really just more symbolic than holy.
Oh yeah. That's so true.
Yeah.
It's more of like a story that everyone can relate to, not like, oh my God, God is being born in a shed.
Exactly.
Which, like, whenever you talk about the actual Christmas story, it's kind of like, okay.
Well, my dad, one year, he like sat us down because he was just like, you guys are spoiled. You don't even know the story of Christmas. Like, I'm going to tell it to you. And we just like sat there blinking, like, not, didn't go to church once in our life. We're just like, I don't even know what you're talking about, but okay.
How old were you probably when he told you the story for the first time?
Probably like 9 or 10, probably. But we went to a Unitarian church for a while.
Oh, cool.
Which was interesting because they do celebrate like all religions there until my mom realized that it was kind of a Christian-based church and she got freaked out and we left because she's like, I don't think I should be here.
Fair. So, I feel like that when I go to church too.
I really think that Christmas is just, I mean, it's true that it's just an end of year celebration and we sort of tacked the religious part on after the fact when everybody became super Christian. It was like, okay, let's take this pagan winter festival and pretend it was Jesus's birthday. Maybe it was Jesus's birthday, but they just were like, oh, this is convenient. Now we can just wrap these two things together and pretend that the tree has nothing to do with Jesus.
Yeah, wait, what does the tree mean? I have a tree, you can see it. What does the tree mean?
It's literally just something that people have done since like pagan times. It's not even Christian. It has nothing to do with Jesus. Oh, it has nothing. It's really just like a winter symbol of like putting out lights and celebrating like the end of, I guess, the harvest or whatever.
I weirdly feel better about having this tree now.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like Christmas is not that religious. Like for us growing up, it kind of was because we grew up Catholic and we had to go to Catholic school and CCD and stuff. But once you stop paying attention to the like Christian part of it, you just realize that it can completely stand on its own without that. It's just like, what do presents have to do with Jesus? Nothing. Well, what does Santa and reindeer have to do with it?
It's so funny because like the original Hanukkah, people were not giving presents. That literally just came about because of the commercialization of Christmas. They like felt bad for their Jewish kids. Like, okay, yeah, we'll give you presents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you play, is dreidel a Christmas game? Or is that like an all year round game?
Well, it's a Hanukkah game. Yeah.
Sorry,
so actually the history of the dreidel is really interesting because on it, I don't know what it says on it, which is bad, but I don't read Hebrew. But it basically was a way when Jews were being suppressed and being told they couldn't practice Judaism, they would play dreidel that had like reminders of their Judaism on it. And so people who were watching over them wouldn't know what they were doing or that they were really secretly practicing Judaism in some way by like having these Hebrew letterings on the dreidel, which I just thought was really cool.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Like just a sneaky game that people would play to keep it alive, kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Yeah, that's cool. So let's do a little round of Shag, Marry, Kill with characters from the OC.
Perfect.
Okay, so we're going to start with Ryan Atwood, Seth Cohen, and Luke. Luke. That's how I always think of him, as Marissa saying, Luke, you just got shot.
Every time I think of Luke, I just think of him hooking up with Julie Cooper.
Yeah, that's the lasting.
When he clearly was like a 30-year-old man pretending to be like 16. And I was just like, this is supposed to be wrong, but I'm kind of rooting for them. Just
Yeah, I was like, where are these boys in my high school? Why do they not look like Luke? They all look like Seth, or if Ryan hadn't gone through puberty yet.
I would be grateful if the guys in my high school looked like Seth. Like, they all were, I mean, I'm very tall, but they all were just so small and scrawny.
True. And Seth had good style. He had really good style.
Yeah. Well, he's got that money, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So who are we, what are we doing with these three? Shag, marry, kill.
Wait, I want to change the game a little bit. Can we make it Shag, marry, Cole?
Okay. So you give him Cole. Yeah.
I don't like kill. It just feels, I don't like.
Yeah, I agree. It's too much.
Yeah, sure.
So to make it Christmassy, Shag, marry, Cole.
Okay, yeah, brand. That's great.
Okay. Shag Luke instantly, marry Ryan, and Cole Seth, because Seth is the worst.
Oh, why?
Seth just, like, he really bothered me with his indecisiveness and, like, thinking that he was good enough for Summer and treating her the way he did. Like, come on. Like, you got to know who you're working with. And Ryan, I don't know, I just got a soft spot in my heart for a bad boy like Ryan. Yeah.
I do too, but for some reason I feel like if I married Ryan, he would cheat on me. And I also think he's got a little bit of commitment issues, you know? Like, he's just always brooding, and I can't handle that because I'm always brooding. So I think I've talked a lot of smack about Seth. But I would marry Seth probably because I think he probably has matured a lot since high school. Like, the high school version of Seth was really annoying to me because he's just, you know, kind of whiny. But I think nowadays, as an adult, Seth would probably be the best one to have a conversation with out of all three of them. Or Luke, or I would marry Luke. I don't know. One of them.
See, my thing with Seth is I just feel like he might see, like, a shinier, like, thing, like, in the window or something walking by and completely just stray. Like, I think he doesn't know what he wants. And unless it's, like, even, like, he's saying, like, I love Summer, and then he went and, like, fucked that up too, so.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know.
Yeah, he might not be that trustworthy after all.
Yeah,
I don't know where I would go with this.
I'm marrying Luke then. I'm marrying Luke. And I'm shagging Ryan, definitely, because
yeah,
I think he would absolutely be the best in bed. So I guess I'm giving Seth Cole too, because I think you're right, Ava. I think Seth would be a cheater. I think he would have a wandering eye.
Yeah. He doesn't know what he wants. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Okay. Now let's do, this is my favorite round, the Zaddy round. Sandy Cohen, Caleb Nichol, Jimmy Cooper.
Okay. Reluctantly, I would shag Jimmy Cooper. Very reluctantly. Marry Sandy Cohen in a heartbeat, and then Cole, Caleb Nichol, because what a POS.
Yeah.
Okay. I might differ a little bit. Definitely marry Sandy Cohen, but I might shag Caleb
again. Oh.
But Jimmy's just an annoying. So I don't know.
Yeah, Jimmy is annoying.
He doesn't have the
swagger.
The swagger. Yeah, Caleb's got the swagger. That's exactly it.
He doesn't handle his money well. That's true.
Yeah. So I'm going to marry Caleb Nichol.
Honestly, good for you. Smart
for the
choice.
For the juicy jumpsuits?
Yes. I'm sorry. Like,
for the alimony, really.
Yeah, I love Sandy Cohen. Maybe Sandy Cohen will be my second husband, but like a DA salary living in Newport Beach, I don't really make that kind of money yet to support us in the lifestyle to which I think we both would be accustomed. So I think I have to go Caleb Nichol if I want to stay in the OC. And then
He's a good starter husband.
Yeah, yeah, good starter husband. I'm going to shag Sandy and keep him on the back burner. And then I'm going to Cole Jimmy Cooper. I'm giving him Cole.
Jimmy Cooper deserves Cole. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Because,
yeah.
He didn't deserve Julie Cooper either.
Right. He was doing nothing right. Like, he was crushing on, what's her face?
What is
Kirsten.
Her name?
Oh my god, he loved Kirsten from afar.
He was embezzling all their money. Like, all he had to do was not do one of those things and I would still like him. But the fact that he was both emotionally basically cheating on Julie Cooper and embezzling all the money, like, come on, you suck.
Yeah, it's a few too many red flags. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to shag, marry, Cole, Summer, Marissa, and Anna.
I had a little bit of trouble with this one only because I don't like Anna, but I'm going to have to shag her because she is hot. and Mary Summer and Cole Marissa. I had Kill Marissa at first, and I was going to say, like, even though she's already dead. But RIP Marissa, you're getting Cole.
I think I agree with that.
I agree, too. You got to marry Summer because she would just be so fun to hang out with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Marissa's useless.
Marissa is useless. She is a wet blanket.
Yeah.
No personality, just trauma. Like,
yeah. Just really upset about everything all the time, which was just like Serena Vanderwoodsen.
Oh my God.
It made me so upset because I read the Gossip Girl books and like she wasn't, Serena Vanderwoodsen was just like happy-go-lucky party girl, like having fun all the time, not like all upset about her past all the time.
Weren't Serena and Blair like opposite personalities in the books?
I thought Serena was like an it girl who was like the life of the party and super cool alpha.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. In the book,
so I just whenever she comes back in season one, when I rewatch, I'm just like, you're who everyone wants to be around. Like, why?
Exactly. No. Yeah.
So that's having nice hair and nice legs. I don't know.
Yeah, she was way better in the books, but I guess it's just like when you read, it's easier to relate to someone, and it wouldn't be easy to relate to someone that's not upset all the time. I don't know. Blair's character was pretty consistent with the book, though.
Okay. I gotta read the books. But also, isn't it funny that
you have to, they're so good.
Serena's mom looks like Kirsten Cohen.
Yeah. So weird.
Does. Like Josh Schwartz, I need to know like why. Who in your life looks like that? Yeah.
That's such a good point. So our last one, I couldn't think of a third person, but I have Julie Cooper, Kirsten Cohen. There's no other like middle-aged woman on this freaking show.
Well, I was thinking about Summer's mom, but she was just like a drug addict.
Yeah, that was weird. She was like absent.
Yeah.
So she was just
like always getting plastic surgery and like on pills.
I'm going to marry Julie Cooper because I want to be her. I'm going to... Cole Kirsten, because I don't know why, I just never really liked her that much. And I'm going to shag Summer's mom because she's probably fun.
I'm going to second that. At first, I had shag Julie Cooper and Mary Kirsten just because I thought Kirsten was like a good wife. Like she kept a nice home, which sounds not you like sputter that way, but like, yeah. And she has money. So
that's true.
Julie Cooper would be leeching off of you.
That's true. I might have to marry a Cohen again because, I mean, a nickel. She's more a nickel. That's where her money comes from.
Yeah, she's quite the wasp.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ava. And I think we all learned a lot.
Yeah, I definitely learned a lot doing this research. I was so nervous. So I was like, oh, no, I have to tell the story of Hanukkah. Here we go.
You crushed it. Thank you. I feel confident in my knowledge of Hanukkah now.
Oh, yeah, yes. Me too.
All right. I'm glad we're all feeling confident.
Wow, I am going to have dreams of Caleb Nichol tonight.
Oh my God, okay.
And Luke, give me that wasp D. That's what I'm into, apparently. No, I love Jewish guys too.
Yeah. You're not giving me time to react to any of these. I'm just like, I don't know whether you're coming or going. I don't know.
Okay, I accept D of all faith and religious-based persuasions. Let's get that straight.
Put that in the books, people. Yeah.
And every man on the OC is a snack. I think that's my point.
That's a good point. Yeah, definitely. And Gossip Girl, too.
Yeah. They're except all Dan. I didn't like Dan. He's creepy to me.
I liked him.
All right, well...
Let's say you were to buy Mariah Carey's recent autobiography this year. You'd have to wrap it if you're going to give it as a gift, which takes me into our next topic of how to be sustainable with your wrapping paper choices this year, because I've been seeing a lot of these like fabric wraps. And so my question is what happens with the sustainable fabric wrapping paper? Like, say I give you a gift with this sustainable fabric wrapping paper. Do you then keep the sustainable fabric wrapping paper? Or do I say, okay, thank you, I'm going to take that back now? Like, how do we keep it from getting thrown out? That's what I can't wrap my head around.
Can we just let it on fire?
Yeah, true. All right.
Case closed.
So what do you think? Would you, like, if I gave, not me, but if someone who wasn't me and you felt awkward about gave you sustainable wrapping paper, would you keep it?
Yeah, I would keep it. I love old ladies who unwrap the gift really slowly and keep the regular real wrapping paper. That is like a real treat whenever someone does that. It's very nice. The Trump. Something kind of cool that happened is that he's giving federal employees the full day off for Christmas Eve. I mean, of all the issues to tackle in the world, why you would pick this at this moment in time is absolutely insane and unhinged. And I mean, why not make Election Day a holiday first?
Number one, that's number one, because also everybody in the country can celebrate Election Day. Yeah. Christmas, like, we already have Christmas Day off. So Christmas Eve, you might be like, oh, maybe I'll do Hanukkah or a different holiday. Of course he wouldn't. So why do you think he did this? Because we know that Trump generally doesn't just do nice things for people, especially not people who, like, work for the government. Do you, this is, these are my two hypotheses. Number one, it's about the war on Christmas,
mm-hmm.
which he, I believe before he started in office, said he was going to end the war on Christmas.
And he didn't realize the calls were coming from inside the house.
What do you mean?
Oh, well, Melania was the friggin', she was the freaking, like, Hitler of war on Christmas. She was the commander in chief of that army, the anti-Christmas yeah, like army.
Jack Frost in Santa Claus 3. And then the other, that was my other other hypothesis, is that he's doing it to make Melania mad.
No, I don't think he's doing it to make Melania mad. I don't think he even registers any of Melania's emotions ever. I don't think he would even know if she was mad. I mean, he keeps trying to hold her hand in public and he doesn't seem to realize it's not going to happen, bro. So yeah, I think it's the war on Christmas thing. I think it's him doing one last gasp of trying to get us to think he has any sort of ethos whatsoever. And he wants the, you know, the Christian right to be on his side. But I have to say, I'm not going to get mad at another holiday.
Right. Like if Christmas Eve slowly became a holiday in all the companies across the country too, that would be very cool.
Yeah.
But so I'm in favor of this move overall, but I will say he is exempt from being our holiday cheermeister. So it's not going to win him the cheermeister award, because also he's like hosting tons of Christmas parties at the White House. And there was a rumor the other day that one of the ones he was hosting, he just, like, 10 minutes before, the guests were all told that he wasn't coming.
Wow. I mean, that can only make a party better, though. I just feel like, yeah, it's so weird. It's, the thing is, you could, like, how about another stimulus check? How about some aid for restaurant workers and owners? How about some healthcare? You know, of all the things you could do, why do this? Again, not complaining, love a day off, but... you know.
Exactly.
One of the things everyone loves most about Christmas is the food and the booze and just stuffing our faces until we can't anymore.
And that's especially true this year, because it's kind of the only thing that we get to do. Like, that the food used to be a good part of parties, but now we're not going to get to go any parties. So at least we can make ourselves food at home and enjoy that part of the holiday still.
And these sweatpants are all that fits me right now already, so might as well go whole hog. So in that spirit, we are talking to two comics who have a podcast about food, Brian Yang and Ariel Lieti.
So Brian and Ariel have a podcast called What's Eating You, and we're going to be on their podcast next week and talk a couple things Christmas and just food in general, and learn about an interesting Midwestern tradition at Christmas time that you might want to tune in to find out more about.
So we're joined by Ariel and Brian of the What's Eating You podcast. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
So how did your podcast come about? Let's start with that.
Yeah, I think Ariel
happened, Brian.
We met at our mutual friend Gordon's stand-up show sometime like 3 years ago. And we both started talking about Anthony Bourdain and about how much we love food. And then that's kind of just where our friendship took off.
It was more solidified when we ate this giant, what do we eat? Gumbo? No, it wasn't gumbo.
It was
we
had shrimp and grits.
Yeah. Shrimp and grits, and Ghostface Killah was sitting next to us. That's our New York story. And we were more excited about the shrimp and grits, and they're like, oh, we should start a podcast about food. That's how it happened.
So do you guys look forward to holiday food, or are you lukewarm about it?
Well, I've always said in the podcast that my mom can't cook. Sorry, Mom, hope you're not listening. But she's gotten better throughout the years. So I am kind of looking forward to the holiday food this year. Excited, even, some would say.
We definitely have that in common because our mom also can't cook. I can't believe you're saying that. That's so crazy.
And also, I would never, you know, does not listen to our podcast because she hasn't called us on it yet.
Oh shit. Okay. Well, my mom, sorry, your mom.
What is a great cook, and that's kind of where I got my love of cooking from. So yeah, the holidays, always look forward to it. She cooked up a storm all year round, but the holidays were extra special because all of my aunts would come to our house. So you'd just have like six women who could all cook very well and just make like the greatest food you'd ever tasted. And it kind of spoiled me because I didn't realize how good I had it until I moved out on my own. And I didn't know how to cook when I was in my early 20s. I got my own apartment, and that's how I kind of had to like start watching YouTube and like learning how to cook and texting my mom like, hey, how did you make this thing? And just slowly learning like the skills it takes to make stuff. So now I look forward to the holidays very much, making all the classic stuff like turkey on Thanksgiving, Christmas. I like to make a prime rib roast. So yeah, I'm a big fan of the holiday season food-wise for sure.
Brian made the rib roast last year and it was divine. I have to say it was very good. Memorable food. Good job, Brian. Yes,
thank you. Too bad
I won't be there this Christmas.
I know, it's so sad.
Did you guys spend Christmas together last year?
We did, yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really fun.
That is really cute. So do you guys have any like family holiday traditions that you're going to miss this year? Or
I mean, I don't really have one. My mom really tries to push this thing that she's had for a couple years now of like where we pick out socks, like slipper socks from a bag. I think she saw it on Pinterest and was like, this is going to be amazing. You pick out like slipper socks and they have candy in them and you pick it out from like a blind bag and we all put them on and like swap the socks and take a picture. She's trying to make it work. So that's a tradition that she does. And I make fun of her for it every year. Really just disparaging my mom on this podcast.
I know. This is a trash Ariel's mom podcast.
Love you, Mom. You're trying.
That's really funny. Our mom would do something like that too, though. Like, it's so funny. And I remember one time I said to someone like, oh yeah, my mom doesn't really do the normal mom stuff. Like, she doesn't cook and whatever. And they were like aghast and they were like, well, how did you eat growing up? And I was like, I don't know. I actually don't know, but like, I definitely ate.
Yeah. Did you guys do like a lot of like frozen dinners or like order out? Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
okay.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah.
TV dinners. And
when you go to the grocery store, I see like people stocking up on like a week's worth of like TV dinners for the whole family. And like they make like lasagnas you can just throw in now and like
chicken tenders, a lot more sophisticated now than they were. Back when
we would eat the kids' cuisine and that brownie gets so hot that it just scorches your mouth.
Because and it's also, like four different foods that you microwave all at the same temperature.
It's either molten or ice, no in between.
Yeah, the chicken's not done, but the brownie is like, it's just lava now.
We would also do a lot of Burger King. And I remember we used to, I guess every Wednesday I had basketball practice and my mom worked really late on Wednesdays. So she would take me to Burger King and I would get a bacon double cheeseburger value meal with a Dr. Pepper. And I would just down the whole thing in five minutes and then go into basketball practice. And I think about that all the time. And I'm just like,
dude,
yeah, I had McDonald's like every day when so I was a
funny,
teen.
Yeah. When I was on the volleyball team in high school, and before every game, we would just go to like McDonald's or Burger King and get a shitload of food and then play the game. And if I did that now, I would throw up. I would 100% throw up.
Right. Like, where did the food go?
Oh, man. So
if weird. I go for a jog now as a 32-year-old man, there has to be nothing in my body. Like, mm-hmm. I eat way after I work out or whatever. There can't be anything in me, or it's just like not gonna happen.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I need a little something. So I need like two almonds. Just
right, like, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, just to get the run
started.
More than two, then you can't run.
Yeah. And like trying to find that balance of the perfect amount of food before you can work out is what makes me not work out most days. Because I'm just like, yeah. Okay, I'm going to pass out. So then I eat too much. And then I'm like, I can never move again.
Oh. Yeah, I'm past the point. But my holiday traditions, my wife and I like to do white elephant. So we like to have all of our friends come over and exchange gifts. When we were just dating and had no money, we would just get stuff from the Dollar Tree. And that was still really fun. But now, as we've gotten older, we're able to get, like, you know, a little bit nicer gifts for everyone. And it's usually pretty fun. So that'll be really sad not to be able to do that this year.
Yeah. We usually do that with our family, too. Have you had any good, really memorable, funny white elephant gifts through the years?
Last year, so like every millennial, I got hardcore into astrology. And as a joke, one of my friends got, like a birthday book. It's everyone's birthday. And it's like a 300 page astrology book. And it describes every single birthday on the calendar, like down to the day. Like if you're born on March, my birthday 26, it has a full page description of what you're like.
I know that book. I think I know exactly that book.
The book of birthdays, astrology birthdays or something like that. And so that was one of the gifts, and someone else actually won it. But at the party, I was like having so much fun reading it that they were just like, you can just have this. I'm not getting this. So I got that, which I thought was really fun. And it's fun to just look up like all your friends' birthdays and see like, you are like this. See, like my wife doesn't believe in astrology at all. And I looked up her birthday and then I was like, you would not believe in astrology. It said
so. Have you guys tried any new festive foods or drinks this year that you had never had before?
This year has been tough because it's hard to like get out into the world and try new things. I feel like I can't think of anything off the top of my head right now. I've stayed like very traditional so far this holiday season. I haven't really yet had anything like brand new.
Okay.
I was telling you guys before that I'm a baker, so I made a babka. So I was very impressed with my cinnamon babka, and I know how to braid bread now, so that's pretty exciting.
Oh,
that's really probably cool. Like the newest thing that I've made. Yeah, check me out.
What's your top tip for people who want to make babka at home?
Don't No. Just don't do it. Just have somebody else do it for you and like purchase it. Don't. I mean, top tip, be patient. The dough, you have to let it rise twice. So you have to be super patient and make sure that your filling is a little hard, because once it gets melty, you can't properly braid it and get all the juices inside. So, and also make sure your filling is cool, not super warm.
Wow.
Also just have somebody else do it for you. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds really high maintenance. Do you ever think about like if people had cell phones back when they invented like babka or croissants or any of those really high maintenance things, do you think they ever would have bothered learning how to make that stuff? Because it takes so long and they probably would have been distracted by like Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's
TikTok
no
or something. Yeah. No.
Yeah,
that's why people got so into baking now, because baking and cooking is patience. Yeah. Yeah.
So
time, energy, patience.
Baking is much harder. I'm way more of a cook than a baker, because cooking is so much more improvisational and there's more room for error. My wife's a baker because she's more mathematically and scientifically inclined. It's more about like the exact proportions and like timing, where like, you know, cooking can be a little over, a little under, and you can still kind of save it or make little changes. But yeah, bread or cakes or brownies, like if you burn that shit, it's over. Like it's not going to be good. There's no way to salvage a baked good, I feel like.
Do you live in the city, Brian, right now?
Yeah, I'm in Harlem.
So I probably only cooked or baked like once or twice when I lived in the city, because I felt like groceries were so expensive. And I just would get like bodega sushi all the time.
We've calculated that it costs just as much to eat out as it does to cook, you know?
Yeah.
And when you cook at home, you create dishes for yourself. So yeah, for a long time, we just ordered out almost like four times a week, maybe. Now we do it like more to be healthy, like try to cook at home. And also during the pandemic, we've ordered from like basically every place you can order from near us. So now I'm getting back more into cooking. Ariel and I talked about this on our last podcast about just being like fatigued after being home for 9 months, and just we've eaten everything you can eat in our like little vicinity. So now it's like,
yeah,
I've cooked everything I could cook, and now it's, you go to your staples like McDonald's and Burger King, like you guys were talking about, because it's just like, I don't know what to eat now. But yeah, before pandemic, we definitely ordered out all the time. Went to the deli, went to the bodega. But yeah, now I try to cook at home more often just because there's more time to. But yeah, that's how it is here. It's so expensive to get groceries here.
Yeah, it's so crazy. And it's really cheap in London. It's so funny. Like the craziest thing living in London is telling people in London how much cheaper it is than New York. They get really triggered by that because
that's funny.
They're like, how could London be cheaper than anything? And I'm like, no, it is so much cheaper than New York. Like so much cheaper on every level. The apartments, you get so much more for your money. Like, and people don't believe me when I'm like, you have to be like in the 1% to have a dishwasher in New York City. Like no one has that. And in London, it's like standard.
If you have laundry in your building, it's mind blowing.
Yeah.
Even in Jersey. Someone has
laundry. Yeah. If you have laundry in your apartment, I had a washer and dryer in my last apartment in our unit. And it was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
But that is why I'm with my boyfriend. Yeah. He has a washer dryer in his apartment, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm staying with you. We are married now until your lease is up. And then I just don't know where this is going.
But now that we moved from Queens to Manhattan, no more washer dryer in our unit. I have to go down to the basement and
RIP.
Wait it out if someone else is using the laundry that day.
Oh my God, it's so dehumanizing. And when you have and when someone gets pissed at you because you forget to take your clothes.
Oh yeah, if you wait like 5 minutes, right.
Yeah.
Have you ever had someone take your laundry out?
Yeah.
Passive aggressively? Yeah, it's like so fucked up, right? It's like, I was coming down. I don't know how quickly you need your laundry done today.
Well, at least you guys have it in your basement. I have to go to a laundromat. Before I had a man, I had to go to a physical laundromat. That is a mess. Don't do that. Especially during a pandemic. Thank goodness I found him. Oof.
Oh, yeah. What was the deal with laundromats during the pandemic, like during lockdown?
I mean, you could go to them.
Yeah, they can't shut those down.
But still, I don't love it. I don't love the idea of going during a pandemic.
Yeah, definitely not. I used to pay for the wash and fold like a real asshole. I was like, I couldn't do that too. Yeah, I couldn't afford groceries, but I was like, I'm just gonna do this because it's easy.
Like we lived on the fourth floor of a 5-floor walk up, our first apartment, and like hauling laundry up and down was terrible. Laundry day was like a nightmare. So yeah, like. I mean, they offered it, so I don't know. We felt weird about it because we're from Sacramento. We did our own laundry for our whole lives, and then we started using wash and fold, and it does. You do feel like a huge privileged piece of shit when you start using.
No, I definitely don't understand what you guys are talking about. Wash and fold. I physically lugged my shit to a laundromat. Okay, I had to find a man in order to make this stop. So. Wash and fold. The fuck? No.
Wow. I never lived in New York, so I did not know this whole saga.
Yeah.
And now I always wanted to live in New York, but now I feel a little bit
Well, everything really you do in New York is a calculus of how much do I want this thing versus carrying it up to the fourth floor of this 5-floor walk up. It's like, I don't need it.
Yeah.
When you go to the grocery stores, it's just like just the essentials because we're going to have to lug these up 4 flights of stairs.
Oh my God. Yeah.
What? We're getting so off topic, but it's great.
I didn't want to talk about laundry. I thought that was the thing. That's what this was about.
Laundry news. What are the most overrated festive foods or drinks in your opinions?
Fruitcake.
Yeah. Eggnog. Is that like, does anyone like eggnog?
Eggnog is all right.
Oh, it's okay.
Casey, sorry.
It's okay. Eggnog is okay. In small dose. It's very thick.
It's very thick. It's true. And also, now that I'm thinking about it, I didn't drink milk when I was a child. Like, I've never gotten into drinking milk at all. And I didn't have any dairy till I was like 14, just because I was grossed out by it. And now I love eggnog. So maybe I'm like compensating for loss.
Yeah. Because I was like, a big time milk drinker.
Yeah.
Well, you're sisters, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So you were not drinking milk and you're eating like kid cuisine every day. I'm like really concerned about your childhood.
Kid cuisine or Hungry Man?
Hungry Man.
Do you know what else?
Hungry Man.
Oh my God. They actually did have holiday ones.
I know.
Last week, listening to your guys' most recent podcast episode about freezing fast food, our dad does that. He freezes Taco Bell only. He goes to Taco Bell and gets like 10 bean and cheese burritos and puts them in the freezer and then just like eats them one by one.
Parents are wild. Parents are wild.
That's the craziest thing ever.
The schemes they come up with to save a dollar.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So crazy.
Oh my gosh. That's
amazing.
I don't know
if this is like specifically an Asian thing, but we had like a dishwasher and my parents would never use it because they thought it used more water. And now they do all these studies. And it actually uses less water than doing the dishes yourself. And it's
because
like,
of the yo.
And it's like, you guys, like, we're trying to save maybe like pennies and creating more work for the, like, parents are just really like figuring out the hardest way to do stuff. And it's like, it builds character. That's why we do it that way.
Yeah.
Brian, yo, I think it might be an immigrant parent thing.
Okay.
Because my parents refused to use the dishwasher. We had a dishwasher.
You know what we used it as?
Store
dish
stuff.
Storage. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
But here's my issue is to this day, now I feel the same way about it. So my boyfriend does have a dishwasher and I fucking refuse to use
because it. Because you've been brainwashed. Yeah.
I'm brainwashed. Yeah. I truly am. I'm unwell.
But if you think about it, it makes sense. It only uses the amount of water needed, right? When you do the dishes
I don't
on
care.
Your own, your water is
I don't care,
on.
Brian. No. No, that can't. I want to see the fucking Carfax on that because I don't believe it.
Carfax.
I don't believe it at all.
But I love your dad for heating up the bean and cheese burritos.
Yeah, that's amazing. Good for him. What a pioneer.
He does it with White Castle burgers, too.
Oh, no.
But they sell those frozen. I was just about to say, I wonder if he likes the White Castle burgers because they sell them frozen, and my brother used to love them.
He's like a White Castle evangelist. He loves White Castle.
It's so gross.
I know.
White Castle is gross, and you also have to eat it right away.
Yes.
So
that's
thinking
all
about
fast food.
Eating the frozen version of that is very scary to me.
Yeah, it's like dog food.
But once you microwave it, it brings back because the bun is just like pure sog anyway. It's soggy bun and nasty grade Z beef. That's
oh, the beef
White Castle
really,
at its highest quality. Yeah.
But
it's
also
a
little bit of onions. Yeah, the onions. Yeah. I was just going to say the onions are so crunchy.
That's weird.
Somehow.
But onions are crucial, though, I think.
Yeah,
that's important. The little crispy onions. I don't think I'll ever eat White Castle again. Just thinking about it is making me nauseous.
I was going to say it's making me want White Castle.
Oh,
I'm like,
oh,
they actually have Impossible.
Have you not had
White Castle?
That's really
scary. Troubling. That's troubling. That's troubling for me. I feel like if you haven't had a bowel movement in a long time, just go to White Castle and you'll be
set straight.
Clear you right up.
Good.
It's like Drano. Is it how you know it's good? Eat a vegetable.
Evacuate the dance floor. Okay, so
saying that when I have to go.
Were there any more overrated festive foods or drinks? Brian said eggnog. I wholly disagree.
I don't have anything overrated, but I did just, you asked before about a new thing that you tried this year. I just tried this. I think it's German and it's called Stollen. Have you had this before or heard of it?
I've heard of that.
Yo, that shit is delicious. So inside of it is like an almond paste, almost like a durong. Brian, if you know what I'm talking about, it's like almond paste and nuts and like, yeah, kind of like that, but a little harder. And then that is wrapped around like a sweet bread. So it's almost like a fruitcake, like a delicious fancy fruitcake.
Is it flaky?
And wow, it's flaky. I'm going to actually try to buy one from work because I don't make them, like the boss makes them because they're too complicated. And I'll try to buy one and like send you a piece, Brian. I don't know your guys' address.
Air
and
mail.
I don't think I could ship to London.
Coming through customs.
But I would send, I'll take a picture and send it to you so you know what I'm talking about. But it's delicious. It's really like something else.
That sounds really good. What about any like unsung heroes of Christmas food and drinks? Like things that you think deserve a little bit more hype?
I think coquito gets hype enough. Usually in the Spanish community, we make it's Spanish eggnog, so it's just like coconut milk, condensed milk, and rum. And it's delicious. And usually we just have it around Christmas time. It's so thick and will get you very drunk, and you only have a little tiny bit, and it's just amazing. Not quite underrated, but underrated in the way that, like, I don't think everyone drinks it for Christmas.
Yeah, I had it for the first time this year. I had never had it before, and I made some. And oh my God, I was like, I got so drunk. And then the next day, I was so hungover. I couldn't move for like 12 hours. Because it's like
pure sugar and pure alcohol. You're going to die. Like, it's definitely not the sugar for anyone over 25.
And you can't taste the alcohol. So I kept pouring more and more rum in. I was like, this is fine. And then I was just like hammered, like and blacked out on a Sunday.
I feel like that's like an elevated eggnog.
It's so much better than regular eggnog. It really, I think it is.
I need to try that.
It's so good.
I gotta say, Asian food is, like, I think really underrated. I didn't know until I moved to New York. Like, you kind of hear about it that, oh, like, Jewish people have Chinese food on Christmas because they don't celebrate and the Chinese people still open their restaurants. And last year was my first, my friends Sahar and Shelley, they had never celebrated Christmas before, so they also came over. And the night before, we all went to get dim sum in Chinatown. And that was, like, so much fun. It was basically, like, all Jewish people and Asian people at the restaurant. And in my family, personally, like, we would always have egg rolls around the holidays. So egg rolls always remind me of the holidays, too. So it's not, like, traditional at all. But I think every culture has their own little, like, Christmas tradition that isn't super widely known. I think people know about, like, Mexican people make tamales around Christmas time. That's also awesome if you hang out with Mexican friends at Christmas. But we would always have egg rolls. And now, if there wasn't pandemic happening this year, we definitely planned to make a tradition of getting dim sum every Christmas Eve with my friends Shelley and Zahar. So that was, like, a really cool thing to experience.
That does sound really fun.
Yeah, I want that. No.
So, to borrow from the name of your podcast, What's Eating You? What's eating you guys about the holidays?
This year, I thought I was done shopping. I figured I only had, like, a couple people to buy for because I'm not going to see anyone. And then I got this job right when pandemic started. So, one of my coworkers was like, oh, so what are you going to get for our boss? And I was like, bitch, I was done shopping. I didn't think that we had to get anything for the boss. And now I'm like, well, now I have to get a gift for fucking everybody. I don't, but I would feel a certain kind of way, you know? So now I have, like, 8 more people to buy for. Small gifts, but still, just the idea is eating me right now, because I'm like, I don't really know these people that well, and maybe they'll just get, like, hand sanitizer and tissues and we'll call it a day.
Yeah, the golden rule of offices is gifts should only flow downward. You should only be getting gifts for people who are your underling. It should not be going up.
No, because then now you're losing money.
Yeah.
I've lost money. I've lost money, friends. This is not good.
In past years, I've thought about just, like, making peppermint bark and crushing it up and just, like, wrapping one little piece for each person. And, like, it's just one piece. It's not another, like, whole treat that is gonna add to all of the eating over the holidays, but it's, like, one little nice treat. It's thoughtful. It's
handy. I almost did that.
But it's cheap as
hell. I almost did that 1 year. That is a good idea. I almost did it, and then I ate all the peppermint bark, and then I didn't do it. That's a true story. That is true. I made a beautiful peppermint bark, and I was like, well, what happened if I ate all this? Like, what's gonna happen? Nobody's gonna know about it. And that was it. That was Christmas.
Okay, so this year, make 2 peppermint barks. Yeah. Or don't, because you might still eat them all, and then...
No, I will eat 2. Yeah, I don't think you know who I am at all.
Brian, what's eating you about the holidays?
Yes, dude, I'm missing all the holiday parties that would be going down right now. Those are the best. Like, my wife would have had a work holiday party, and then, like, you get to have free drinks from her company. Then you could crash your friend's work holiday party because they don't care, you know, if they work for a big enough company. And, like, you could straight up go to 10 holiday parties and just get sauced up and, like, stumble home in a cab. Like, that was some of the funnest stuff you could do in New York. And
that's what I miss. Yeah. The, like, just parties and stuff all leading up to Christmas. Ugh.
That's like part of the feeling of the season, and it's just gone.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. It's felt like a party.
Yeah.
It's been such a joy to speak with you.
Thank you.
I hope everyone check out What's Eating You.
Thank you guys.
Wow, it was so great to catch up with Brian and Ariel, and I hope you guys will listen to more of our conversation on their podcast next week.
Yes, check out What's Eating You and subscribe and maybe give them a little rating and review. They were really fun.
Absolutely so fun. Okay, what was your Christmas project in the past week? Did you do one?
This week I made peppermint bark.
Oh, how was it?
It was great. I mean, that's like just such an easy, like, I guess it's a confection, as we discussed in past weeks. It's not a baked
good. Definitely a confection, definitely.
Yeah, so you basically just melt chocolate and then put it on a pan or something with parchment paper, something flat. You can get creative however you want to do it, how thick you want it to be or thin. Let that sit and cool, and then do white chocolate on top of that. Oh, and both need to have a little bit of peppermint extract in them too, or just one of them, however you want to do it. And then crushed up candy canes on top. And
that like sounds very involved.
It's not that involved. You can even melt the chocolate in the microwave, but you have to do it in 15-second intervals, because one time in high school, I tried to just melt chocolate into peppermint bark. Just like put a cup of chocolate in the microwave for like a minute, and it turned into like the most disgusting molten, like far exceeding the kid cuisine molten brownies that we've discussed today. It was like volcanic ash, basically.
Case, who's your holiday cheermeister this week?
So this week, I'm going to throw it out to the birthday gal herself, Taylor Swift. She just dropped a new album called Evermore, which is her second album in 2020, which is incredible. I mean, we all kind of need new music now. And she's really embracing herself, I think. She used to try and do the perfect pop star kind of thing, and now I think she's letting it go and just being a singer-songwriter and leaning into her real self, it seems like, anyway. And she also dropped that folklore documentary about her first album, which I'm hoping there's one for this one too. That was really nice to watch. I watched it the other night, and it was just nice to get some live music kind of back in my life. So yeah, Taylor Swift is my cheermeister. Who's yours?
She's letting her horse girl hair down.
She really is.
She's letting that air-dried ponytail down.
And those air-dried bangs, just letting them down. Yeah.
I think she is super talented, and I'm excited to listen to this album on a day when I have enough serotonin, which may never come, but if it doesn't, I at least I know it's out there. I know that there's a great album of slow jams.
Who's your holiday cheermeister this week?
My holiday cheermeister is Barbara Streisand.
Oh, such a good one. Please explain your reasoning.
So in the spirit of Hanukkah and Chrismica, Barbara Streisand is Jewish, but she released one of the best pop Christmas albums of all time.
Yeah. Oh my God. I haven't listened to that yet this year. It's so good.
Yeah. And I just really appreciate that, because I feel like it must be really annoying having to deal with Christmas when you don't celebrate Christmas, because it's so extra. Everybody goes so all out, myself included. I think it's really nice that Barbara sort of threw us a bone and lent us her incredible talent. And the funny thing is, she's not the only Jewish person who has released classic Christmas music.
Oh, really? What are some other songs written by Jewish people?
Every classic Christmas song was written or co-written by a Jewish person. I'm going to read you the list. Winter Wonderland, as in walking in.
Oh my gosh.
Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Let It Snow, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Sleigh Ride, White Christmas.
That was you just named every Christmas song.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just really incredible.
I know. And I appreciate it. I really do. Because like I said, I know that we Gentiles are annoying AF this time of year. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Irving Berlin. Thank you, Adam Sandler. Thank you.
What did Adam Sandler write?
Well, he wrote the Hanukkah song, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for that, Adam Sandler.
We love it.
Okay, cool. Well, that was a very musical cheermeister this week.
It was very musical. I think music is one of the cornerstones of Christmas, along with movies and presents and drinking and food and candy canes and candy corns
and syrup. Lots and lots of syrup.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.